From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Backcourt pressure applied by Brown. Peterson on the back. Oh, my goodness!
Down the floor. And it's a deflection by Ruffin. And the play continues. Peterson got it! I don't believe it! I don't believe it! If it goes and goes, we got to check it out. If it's good, we're going into overtime. And a Hail Mary three by Mo Pete. I don't believe what I just saw. Onions, baby onions.
Fake like you're turning the corner. Now look at this catch, the coordination. Send it in, Mo Pete.
Now with this kid, ball security.
Nice play, faking over the top and wide open and down the sideline. Aaron Dotson, touchdown.
Second and 10 with 48 seconds to go. Smith fires far sideline. Third interception of the night, and this one will ice it. And it's the second of the night for Aqib Talib. That'll be the ball game.
That has to feel good after a miss from 2.5 and 3.5 feet earlier on this side. What might have been still an excellent start for Tiger. 5 under. In pursuit of a fifth win at this championship.
It's a bogey-free round for Brandt. And our FedEx Cup defending champion looks mighty strong in the first round this year at the BMW Championship.
Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Here are today's headlines for this September 13th. Yes, people, it's Friday the 13th. Don't freak out. Let's get right into it. Michigan State University inducted 5 members into its Athletics Hall of Fame on Thursday as part of the Celebrate 2013 weekend. The class of 2013 includes Henry Bullock, football, Kip Miller, hockey, Ryan Miller, hockey, Morris Peterson, basketball, and Jenna Roble of volleyball. Now, Bullock played defensive tackle for Biggie Munn on MSU's 1952 National Championship team and for the 1953 team that won the Big Ten and Rose Bowl in its first year in the league. He played 2 seasons for Vince Lombardi in Green Bay and later coordinated the defense for Duffy Daugherty's national title teams of 65 and 66. Now, Kip Miller. Miller was the third of his brothers and 6th of eventual 10 members of his family to play hockey at MSU. He led the nation with 101 points in the 1989-1990 season and became the school's first Hobie Baker Award winner. Now, Kip Miller's cousin, Ryan Miller, won the Hockey Baker Award in his sophomore season of 2000-2001 with a .950 save percentage and then NCAA record of 1.32 goals against. Now, Morris Peterson, Mo Pete, basketball. Peterson was the top scorer with 16.8 points per game and Big Ten Player of the Year for Tom Izzo's 1999-2000 National Championship team as a senior. He was also a first-team All-American and finished his career with 1,588 points, which currently ranks 12th in the program's history. Now, Jenna Roble of volleyball. Roble is the program's all-time leader in kills. One of four first-team All-Americans in program history and the only four-time first-team All-Big Ten honoree. Now, the MSU Hall of Fame class will also be honored at halftime during tomorrow's 2 p.m. MSU Youngstown State football game at Spartan Stadium. The Spartan Invite, Michigan State Cross Country Program, is hosting the 24th Annual Auto Owners Insurance Spartan Invitational at Forest Acres East Golf Course. Now, the event, which features both high school and college races, kicked off at 12 noon with a women's 6K race, followed by a 12:35 p.m. Men's 8K race. Now, throughout the afternoon, high school and middle school races will also take place. An estimated 5,000 athletes will compete in the event from schools throughout the state and Great Lakes region. Now, Everett tops Okemos. Lansing Everett edged Okemos 14-7 in Thursday's CAAC Blue opener. Everett is now 3-0, folks. My goodness. Now, the Vikings, who are 3-0 right now, as I just said, have now won 13 straight regular season games since a 39-7 loss to Sexton on October 14, 2011. Now, the biggest play of the night was a 60-yard pass from Everett senior quarterback Lucas Varner to senior wide receiver Nikeek Wilson. That tied the game 7-7 late in the first quarter. Congrats to Lansing Everett. They're 3-0, folks, just rolling. The United States climbed the 13th in the FIFA rankings, its highest position since July 2010. The Americans rose 6 places in September rankings announced Thursday, which include Tuesday's 2-0 win over Mexico that clinched a 7th straight World Cup berth for the U.S. The Americans had dropped to as low as 36th in July and August in 2012. Now, world and European champion Spain remain first for the 25th consecutive month, and Argentina rose two places to second after qualifying for its 11th consecutive World Cup. Colombia dropped to fifth, Belgium, Uruguay, Brazil, the Netherlands, and Croatia, they round out your top 10. New England Patriots got by the New York Jets 13-10 on Thursday night. 13 of Brady's 19 completions went to veteran Julian Edelman, who knows the offense better than the three rookie wide receivers. Geno Smith completed just 15 of 35 passes for 214 yards with three fourth quarter interceptions and was sacked four times. Geno Smith actually fared much better than most rookies against the Patriots have done, again, and Bill Belichick. Prior to Thursday night, the first year QBs were 0-4 against Belichick in Foxborough, losing by an average of 23.5 points per game. Now, the Patriots punted 11 times and managed just 9 first downs after leading the NFL in points and yards last season. Only 2 of their 16 possessions gained more than 22 yards, and 81 of their 232 yards, more than third, came on the opening series. We'll run down your NFL games and get our predictions on the games as Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky will join me later for that. Also want to give you guys a BMW update. Despite making 7 birdies at Conway Farms Golf Club to finish 3 strokes behind first-round leader Brant Snedeker at the BMW Championship, Tiger Woods lamented he missed opportunities on the greens. Snedeker, whose 7 straight birdies were a PGA Tour best for 2013, shot a 63, a stroke better than Jack Johnson, and Woods is tied with Carl Schwartzel and Steve Stricker and Kevin Streelman. Now, the BMW Championship is the 3rd of 4 FedEx Cup playoff events that concludes with next week's Tour Championship in Atlanta. The leader in points following next week's tournament at East Lake wins a $10 million bonus. Armstrong, disgraced cyclist Lance Armstrong, tweeted Thursday that he's handed over the bronze medal that he won in the 2000 Summer Games, adding that it should be at International Olympic Committee headquarters in Switzerland, quote, ASAP. Earlier this year, the committee stripped Armstrong of the medal he won in Sydney and asked him to return it. Armstrong, after years of heated denials in January, admitted to doping throughout his storied career, which included 7 Tour de France wins. Now, Armstrong's tweet Thursday included a photo of the medal and said, quote, the 2000 bronze is back in possession, end quote, of Olympic officials. So Lance Armstrong returns that. And the Entertainment University is really, really just buzzing about a certain romance between a certain Detroit Pistons star center and former Disney Channel star on the show iCarly. Now, Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond has a blossoming romance with former iCarly star Jeanette McCurdy. Now, the relationship began on Instagram and Twitter before the two met in person and posted all manner of photos and videos of their time together. Now, McCurdy has pinned a lengthy op in the Wall Street Journal on how their relationship has developed, and as well as her general thoughts on online dating. And in case you were wondering, neither Drummond nor McCurdy see this relationship as a possible distraction. Now, if you follow either of them on Twitter or Instagram, there are pictures of both of them holding hands and whatnot, just enjoying time with each other. Now, personally, I hope this doesn't become a distraction for Drummond. Go Pistons, baby.
Yeah, well, those are your sports headliners for the day. Again, if you have a comment on any of them, give us a ring right here at the Current Sports Studio. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Give us a call, folks. Call in. We want to know what's on your mind. And I want to let you know that we are taking your calls throughout the show, getting your predictions on this weekend's sporting action. A lot going on. Now, the MSU football team gets it on against Youngstown State at Spartan Stadium. A 2 p.m. kickoff tomorrow. The Lions play the Cards this Sunday. And Michigan plays Akron also tomorrow. That's a 12 noon kickoff. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on what you think is going to happen in either one of those games. Again, 517-355-9527. You know, I'm really tomorrow. You know, when it comes to this MSU football team, I will be paying very close attention, as will all of us, to that quarterback position. And if Mark D'Antonio decides to burn the red shirt of freshman Damian Terry. Now, for those of you who have been following the team, this week, and heard Mark D'Antonio's press conference earlier this week. He talked about how he would start probably. Well, Connor Cook will be getting the immediate reps with the first team, and Damian Terry will be getting the second team reps. So, which leads to all indications that Damian Terry has a legitimate shot at playing in tomorrow's game. So it's going to be very, very interesting. I expect the defense to be stellar as it always is. Shalik Calhoun, something very interesting. If you guys have been following Shalik Calhoun, who was named actually the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, Shalik Calhoun has more touchdowns than the MSU offense. Can you believe that? That's stunning to me. Stunning stuff right there. The defense as a whole has four touchdowns compared to MSU's two. Shalik Calhoun accounts for three of those touchdowns by the defense. I mean, this kid is really, really something special. That entire defense just keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting. So, again, give us a call. Give us your predictions on the Michigan and Akron game, on the Michigan State and Youngstown State game at Spartan Stadium. And also, the Detroit Lions will be playing the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday. So give us a call again, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. And, you know, going back to those headlines, I really want to congratulate Henry Bulla, Kip Miller, you know, the Miller cousins, Kip Miller and Ryan Miller of hockey, Morris Peterson, Mo Pete, who will actually be a current sports TV guest next week. Yes, folks, again, I'm promoting it out there. Morris Peterson, who's just been inducted into the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame. Morris Peterson will be on Current Sports TV next week, Thursday. That's when it will air. But if you want to be a part of the live audience, go to www.wkar.org, and you can sign up to be a part of that live audience Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Morris Peterson will be in the house. I'll be sitting down to pick his brain about his career and his memory. So congratulations to all of the inductees, and I look forward to sitting down with Morris Peterson. All right, well, those are your headliners again. 517-355-9527. You want to comment on any of those? In the meantime, did you guys tune into Current Sports TV last night? Now, it was the premiere episode, ladies and gents. Yes, at 10 p.m., we kicked off the new show, and I sat down with MSU Spartan hoop great Greg Kelser. Now, Kelser, who, of course, went on to play in the NBA but was plagued by injury problems and has been a Detroit Pistons color commentator for quite some time with Fox Sports Detroit alongside George Blaha. Now, if you missed it, well, you're in luck. Here's a sit-down, a little bit of sit-down with Greg and that premiere show on TV last night. As you see, it's truly a pleasure and honor to have Gregory, Special K Kelser, as the very first guest here on Current Sports TV. Greg, thank you so much for coming here, man.
I'm happy to be here. And first of all, let me say this. You do a fantastic job, but I know you couldn't get Steve Smith. And Mateen probably, Mateen was probably not available.
Not true.
Irvin certainly couldn't be. I'm happy to be here, though.
Stop. That is not true. Not true at all. We're glad to have you, Special K. All right.
Good to be here.
So, as you just saw, Mark Hollis, Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis, just said that he doesn't think that college athletes should be paid. Now, you were a former college athlete. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have long since thought that athletes should be given something. And that's the easy answer, yes. But the more complicated part of the equation is how do you administrate it? You know, how do you administer the payments? And who gets what? You know, what sports get what? Obviously, there are more sports. There are more sports that do not draw the revenue that the major sports like basketball and football and even hockey bring. But somehow, some way, I think there needs to be some way to better accommodate those athletes for the enormous dollars that they are bringing in year after year after year, and the figures are just growing with each and every season.
So how do you think that should be done? You think there should be something in place to accommodate those athletes? What should be done then?
Well, you know, I think, you know, Some figure, you know, that's manageable. I know that it would be tough when you go from one school to the next because, you know, Michigan State, you know, these Big Ten schools, well, they're going to draw more than some of the MAC schools, and they're going to get more than some of the Division II schools and so on and so forth. But there has to be some way, and it could be something as easy. I know when I was in school, an extra $300 or $400 a month would have been great.
Right.
You know, it could have gone a long way. Now let's just take and put the cost of living, you know, with that. And you know, there are people out there far smarter than I am at coming up with these equations and these formulas as to how it can be fairly administered. But I think that is a remedy that has been long overdue.
If you look at what has changed as far as college sports is concerned over the years, it's changed dramatically. A lot more money into it now. One of those examples I want to bring up are, have you guys seen the new Oregon athletic facility? It's redonkulous, say the least. Redonkulous. 145,000 square feet of office space. Then you talk about a brand new weight room made out of Brazilian wood floors. I don't even know Brazilian had wood. I had no idea. But unbelievable. Then you talk about a spa
treatment. Expensive stuff.
Yeah. They even have a barber shop in there, Greg. I mean, and it, of course, Phil Knight.
I could probably go there right now.
And Phil Knight, the co-founder of Nike over there, he really put in a lot of money when it comes to that athletic facility. Yeah. Now, do you think something like a barber shop, a water spa treatment, I mean, is that going a little bit overboard?
Well, you know what? All of that is a part of the competitiveness that's involved in college athletics now. You know, you're trying to use your facilities to draw the very best athletes to your university so that you can have the best teams over a prolonged period of time. You ask, what is the biggest difference? Well, you just named one. Facilities. So much different. But the other thing that I find that is tremendously different is the demands on the student athlete's time. I mean, when I played here at Michigan State 35 years ago, we played 32 games if you got to the championship game.
Right.
If you didn't get to the playoffs, if you didn't get to the tournament, 27 games and that was it. And they were spread out over, you know, 4 or 5 months. Now you got teams playing upwards of 40 games. The season starts much early, it runs much later, and how the kids are able to, you know, manage and coordinate that whole thing with the academic challenges really is amazing. But I would assume that, you know, vehicles have been put in place to accommodate that too, with tutors and again facilities like the one here on campus, the Clarabel Smith Center. So I guess, you know, it all evens out at some point, but I can't imagine the youngsters having any downtime or any spare time anymore.
Right. Now, I got to ask you about Johnny Football. Now, Johnny Football out there, Johnny Manziel, quarterback of Texas A&M, he is in a little bit of trouble, could be in a little bit of trouble. I don't want to declare the man guilty just yet. But he could be in trouble right now for allegedly signing autographs and getting paid to do so.
See, I might be in trouble after this show because I don't think he did anything wrong.
Really?
I don't. Again, you know, there's an avenue where a youngster can benefit. And if there are people who are willing to pay for it, then what is wrong with that? How does that differ from a summer job?
All of our
I'm
viewers
not gonna work
out there.
In college games next year. If you don't see me on the big deal, you'll
I'm sure that won't happen. Come on now, Greg. Well, we want you all out there who are watching Current Sports TV right now to weigh in on this. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports and voice your opinion. And we will, of course, read it on our radio show Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Check it out. Now shifting gears a little bit, Greg. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about that historic 1979 championship game. You guys playing Indiana. I mean, Magic Johnson, you out there playing, going against Larry Bird. Just talk about the impact, the cultural impact on just culture in general and the sports impact that game had.
You know, it's funny how that game has maintained a tremendous shelf life for a great many years. Obviously, the reason why is because Larry Bird, you know, the All-American from Indiana State, and Irvin Magic Johnson, the All-American from right here in East Lansing and Michigan State, they were the top players in the nation vying for the championship. It was a coming together of, you know, tremendous and you know, maybe even unmatched proportions. Those two guys, and Indiana State was an undefeated team trying to finish out an undefeated season. That captured everybody's imagination. It got people that really weren't even into basketball watching. And then you throw in the other elements. And let's be honest about it. Race played a part in that, you know, because you had a black kid against a white kid. And all of that was part of the backdrop. That was all. Now, we as athletes, we were just trying to play a basketball game, trying to win it.
Right.
But the fact that the two of them went on to have just a tremendous rivalry at the NBA level, and we're given so much credit perhaps for saving the NBA, which was somewhat of a downtrodden league at that time, bringing it back to the stature that, you know, it enjoys now today.
Right.
They got a lot of credit for that. So for them having that rivalry carry on, but having that game be the start of it, I think has all helped, you know, feed the phenomenon that game is now regarded with.
Now, that is a game that certainly many people around Sparty Land will never forget. Now, I want to talk about the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, you went on to play in the NBA,
But unfortunately, Greg, you got injured and it cut your career a little bit short. Talk about your career. And Greg, are there any regrets?
Well, you know what? The only regret is something I couldn't control. I played hard, I played with reckless abandon, and I got hurt. But I still played 6 years in the NBA, and that's six more than most. I've always said the game owes you nothing, but the game has been tremendous for me. First of all, it started out when I was a young kid. I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. I played it with my dad. We had a lot of great times in the backyard. He beat me. I never beat him, because when I was capable of beating him, he stopped playing. He never allowed me to taste that feeling of success against him. And I had a brother at the time who's 8 years younger, so he started playing him and did the exact same thing. But the game was tremendous to me, because it eventually helped me land a scholarship to a place like Michigan State University. I was able to play here on a great basketball team and cement my place in college basketball history as a result. And then it allowed me to be a first-round draft pick, something that had been a goal, you know, from the time I was a young man. And I played 6 years. I would have loved to have played 10, would have loved to have played 15. But I'm happy with what I was blessed with. Mm-hmm. And now the game still provides me a great deal of benefit as a broadcaster. I've been a broadcaster now for 27 years.
I'm 27.
Go ahead, do the math. 27 years.
Good enough for that.
21 when he came out. He's got to be what?
Yeah. Come on now. Now, Greg, you had the privilege of playing with one of the greatest basketball players of all time, mm-hmm. Irvin Magic Johnson.
Yes.
Talk about that experience and what made Irvin so special. Did you know he was going to go to the NBA and become the superstar that he became?
Well, you know what? We knew early on that Irvin was a special, you know, very special player, very gifted. You know, the smile and all the other things, the electricity that he would bring to the arena, that was one thing. But his ability, and when he was 17 and in high school, you could see it. I mean, he was head and shoulders above everyone in terms of his basketball knowledge, his acumen, his understanding of the game. And he truly was a coach on the floor. And he was a leader from the moment he got here. Now, we served as co-captains together on the championship team. And it was a great mix in my estimation. And Judd Heathcote, our head coach, used to always say that, because Irvin was a more vociferous leader. He would get in somebody's face. I wasn't that type of leader, but I was a leader from the standpoint that I worked very, very hard, and I challenged anybody to outwork me. So, and Irvin was a great worker too. So you had your two best players as your hardest workers, and he was a vociferous type leader. I was somewhat quiet, but I led by example with my work ethic.
Exactly. Now, going on the broadcast side of things, you said 27 years. Now, yeah. Greg, how did you get started in broadcasting?
Just like you. Now, actually, you're well ahead of me, because I didn't decide that I wanted to be a broadcaster until like my first or second year in the NBA. And I had a friend who was very, very instrumental in helping me. He worked in the business, and he took time to allow me to hang with him and learn what he was doing. And I got excited about it. And so then I started laying the groundwork, making my connections, if you will, my associations, my relationships with people who could possibly be instrumental whenever my career would end. You know, I didn't know if it would be a 5-year career, 10-year career, but I began to understand that this is what I wanted to do when my basketball career was over. So thankfully, fortunately, you know, I was blessed to be able to do that. 1 year out of the NBA, I was into the broadcasting booth, and I've been there ever since.
You know, Greg, something that stood out to me when the Comm Arts Science and Sciences College here at Michigan State University, they held the Spartan Sports Journalism Classic, put on by Dean Pam Whitten, who's sitting in the crowd right now.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job.
Fantastic job. Fantastic job. And you were a guest at that event, and something that really stuck out to me that you said was that somebody came up to you and asked you, and this is when the Pistons last season, they weren't too high, they missed the playoffs, terrible team. Somebody came up to you and said, and asked you, how are you going to broadcast the game? And you looked at him and said, I'm going to broadcast this game like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals.
That's right.
Talk about that mindset that you have to have as a broadcaster, no matter how the team is doing.
Because I focus on the game and not necessarily the combatants. And every game has its own DNA. Every game has its own complexion, its own storyline. No two are ever the same. I broadcasted over 2,000 games in my career. No two have been the same. And I think you owe it to each and every person out there to give it your max effort. Find something. Find a reason for people to watch. That's a challenge, but it's one that I embrace, one that I enjoy, one that I love. giving folks a reason to watch this game and then helping them with their enjoyment of it, no matter what the score is, no matter what the standings say, it doesn't matter. It's the game. And if you focus on the game and just the game, then nothing else matters. It doesn't matter where they are in the standings. It doesn't necessarily matter what the implications of a win and a loss might be. It's just the game, and I love the game.
Such a great, give it up for that. I mean, that's a great message. Great message. Now, Greg, before I let you go, I bleed red, white, and blue. I've been a Pistons fan since I could talk. Oh, yeah. I mean, I gotta ask, what is the outlook that you have for the Pistons this upcoming season? They made a lot of moves. Mm-hmm. What do you predict for them?
Well, my enthusiasm it matches yours. I mean, the Pistons have been sort of in quicksand the last few years, unable to do a lot of things, but that changed this year. I think they spent wisely. They brought in some tremendous talent, athletically speaking, guys that can play above the rim, get up and down the floor, and that's the ship. That's where this game is heading. We have players now that can do that, can be competitive in those areas. And we've got a new coach who's energetic, young, and who's a great player in this league, and Maurice Cheeks, great player.
Yeah.
And I think that the young guys that we have with the Pistons now will warm to his style of coaching. And I think that the Pistons really honestly can aspire to make the playoffs this year. That is not a far-fetched dream. They only won 29 games last year, so they're going to have to increase that probably by 11 to get into the playoffs, but I think they can do it with this roster.
I just got goosebumps. I can't wait. I can't wait for this. Oh, man. One last thing, Greg. For all the young, aspiring journalists out there that want to get in this business, what's the number one lesson that you want to tell them? What do they have to know in order to get in?
Just have passion. Just have passion. Have energy. Have enthusiasm and love for what you do, no matter what it is. But if it's broadcasting, if it's journalism, you know, it's a wonderful field, and there's so many areas where you can flourish. You can be behind the camera. You can be in front of it, like you and I are right now. There's so many opportunities, but no matter what it is, you gotta bring the passion with it. That's what gets you up in the morning, and that's what keeps you excited.
It's all about the passion.
All right, yes, that was my interview with Gregory Special K. Kelser on the premiere episode of Current Sports TV last night. Again, Current Sports TV airs each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. That's Channel 23 if you're in the area. Next week, I will sit down with one of the newest members of the MSU Athletics Hall of Fame, Morris Peterson. Yes, Mo Pete, you don't want to miss that one, folks. You can sign up online and be a part of the live audience that Thursday night by going to WKAR.org. And, yeah, it should be a fun time with Mo P. Can't wait for that one. All right, well, let's take a break for just a sec. Reminding you that we'll be taking your calls right now, getting your predictions on this weekend's sporting action. The MSU football team gets it on against Youngstown State at Spartan Stadium, 2 p.m. kickoff tomorrow. The Lions play the Cards this Sunday, and Michigan plays Akron tomorrow as well at 12 noon. Give us a call. Give us your thoughts on what you think is going to happen in either one of those games. 517-355-9527 again. 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current sports is coming right back.
Want to know how to banish bed bugs or why whiskey has a unique taste? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for the answers to these molecular mysteries, plus an underwater volcano the size of New Mexico. Yeah, and Stephen Hawking talks about how he would change his life if he could start all over. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday, coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
right, welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. And again, we are taking your calls right now to discuss anything that's on your mind and also get your game predictions for this weekend's football action. Of course, you got Spartans and Youngstown State, Michigan and Akron, and also the Lions and Cardinals. They play this Sunday. Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, yes, I'm talking to you, 517-355-9527, and give us your game predictions. Also, I'm joined right now by Matt Lutke and Alex Sharg. As we, first of all, guys, I want to dive into the NFL really quick. You know, you saw last night. Did you guys watch the Thursday night football game at all? Patriots and Jets. Man, was that a sloppy game, to say the least. I mean, with the rain, had a lot to do with it, though. I tell you that. Did you check it out here, Alex, at all?
Didn't catch it. Saw some highlights, but yeah, it looked pretty bad.
Gotcha. All right, well, guys, I want to run down. Let's just go game by game really quick. Cause I want to start. You know, we're gonna start keeping a tally here, week by week, every Friday, of how we fare each and every week as far as calling these games. So just one by one, we're gonna just go out and just yell out your pick for the game. We're gonna tally it up. We're gonna add that to Pick 'em Mondays. How'd that sound, guys? Really quick, guys. You ready?
Oh boy,
it's gonna be like rapid fire. I know, right? Just off the top of the dome, just choose one. All right, here we go. Rams at Atlanta.
Falcons.
Hotlanta.
Okay, I'm gonna go with the Falcons on that one too. All right, Cleveland, Baltimore.
Ravens.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Carolina at Buffalo.
Buffalo.
I'm gonna go Carolina.
I'm going to Carolina with that one, too. All right, Vikings and Bears.
Bears.
Hey, Pete, all the way.
You're going with the Vikings.
Revenge.
I'm going with the Bears. I'm going with the Bears. Washington and Packers.
Give me Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to take the Packers.
Give me those red tails.
All right. Man, that's a tough one for me. Give me the Packers. All right, Tennessee at Houston.
Ooh. Houston, I
tough
guess.
Tough games. We're getting to some tough ones.
Yeah, there seriously. Are some, yeah. There. I mean, it's the beginning of the season,
too. You said Houston?
Too.
You said Houston. I did. All right, I'm going to go Houston, too.
Okay. Miami at Indianapolis. Oh, I didn't even choose on that one. Give me the Texans. Miami at Indianapolis.
I'll take Miami.
Indy, baby.
Give me the Colts. All right, Dallas at Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City all day long.
I'll go Dallas today.
I'm going to go with my Cowboys. I got to go with my Cowboys. Chargers and Eagles.
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 Going with the Eagles in that one, too. Let's see here. Lions and Cardinals.
I mean, we already picked this one.
We did. Well, I forgot what I said. I think I chose Lions.
We all chose Lions.
I think
we
chose
did.
Lions.
Yeah.
All right. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
Saints. Easy.
Saints.
Broncos in New York.
Tough game.
The Giants.
I don't know.
you got to choose. Oh, come on, man.
I guess
give me something.
The Giants.
I say Peyton continues his rampage again.
The Manning Bowl. Give me Peyton Manning. Jacksonville and Oakland. We have three more.
Oh, my gosh. That is terrible. Yeah, that, what
know,
a horrible
right?
game.
That's
Oakland.
Terrell Pryor. Okay, Oakland.
I'll go with Oakland, too, on this one.
I'm going to go with Oakland as well. The 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks.
This is like the polar opposite of that last game.
That's a great game.
Yeah, it is.
That is.
I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to say Kaepernick.
Give me Colin Kaepernick as well. He's on my fantasy
Seahawks
team.
Seahawks at home.
Yeah, I know they are at home.
Come on, guys.
Kaepernick was just so impressive that first week. It's
he
like,
was.
Ah, man.
Same with Manning.
And that's actually the Sunday night game. So the Sunday night game is San Francisco at Seattle, which is a great game. Then Monday night, a thrilling, thrilling game of the Steelers and Bengals.
Bengals.
That's a tough one.
Could you sense my sarcasm when I said thrilling game?
Bengals.
I'm going to go with, I think the Steelers rebound. I don't know.
They looked awful.
They looked so bad. I'm going to take a risk. Give me the Steelers on that one. All right, guys. Well, again, if you have any predictions, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Michigan State is playing Youngstown State tomorrow for a 2 p.m. kickoff. Guys, we all three will be at that game tomorrow. I got to ask you, what will you be looking at besides the quarterback battle?
All right, well, I talked about this last week with Isaiah Lewis and penalties. I'm going to see if Isaiah Lewis does not have any penalties this week. So he's a veteran now, and the defense has been stellar nonetheless, but some costly penalties from Isaiah Lewis, first off. Second thing I'm looking for is to see what the wide receiving core will be like. Besides the quarterback battle, we've seen some issues with a couple of receivers in the past. Last game, it wasn't so much. One drop ball, I think, last game. But I'm curious to see who's going to be on that X and that Z. I'm really curious about that.
I want to see if we get any contributions from a tight end. Any tight end on the roster, even if it's like Lyles who's moved over from the defensive line. I just want to see someone that's been such a big part of the offense when they were successful.
Yeah, like it seems.
And
it's
they are struggling mightily without anyone there. I think that's contributing to the quarterback struggles as well.
Right, right, definitely. I totally agree with that. That's something I overlooked, to be honest with you. I forgot about that.
It's because we've had no contributions at all.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, people just forget that position even exists because it's been so quiet.
Right, it has, man. Well of course, I definitely will be looking at the receivers as well. That's something that I want to see from them. Because, last game we only had one drop pass just simply because – you know, the quarterbacks really couldn't get the ball to the receivers, to be honest with you. But, you know, of course, if that red shirt is going to be burned for Damian Terry, that's going to be something that everyone will be looking at. But the receivers, I'm really, really interested to see how the receivers perform. We'll see if that backfield with the running back position with Langford, Riley Bullitt back there, I want to see how productive they'll be. But it's going to be an interesting one, guys, to say the least. And I really hope they don't leave the fans disappointed in this one. I think we may see – I'm going to say we see three quarterbacks. I think we're going to see three quarterbacks tomorrow, guys. I don't know. I think this is maybe one of the last opportunities that we'll see that for this season. I think tomorrow they make up their mind who they want. I think that's what we're going to see. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, let's hope. Because this is getting a little ridiculous. And it is. Three quarterbacks, to me, means that the two that are getting those top two amount of reps struggle. So I would prefer if we saw two or fewer. I'd like to see somebody just step up and be the guy. I think that's what everybody's hoping for. Yeah. But it just seems like the more you shuffle them in and out, the worse it's going to get. More so than just how many play, I want to see how long they play. Is it a series here and then you're pulled until the third quarter? I would like to see somebody just get a half.
Right.
Let them get a half. Let them get in rhythm. Right. Try and establish something. Try and show that maybe you believe in somebody. It doesn't matter who it is. Just pick one. Please.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it's really getting frustrating to go out there and, you know, and look at Tyler O'Connor, a guy who only got four reps behind center. And that's something that I look at and say, well, I don't know if that's a fair evaluation for Tyler O'Connor because simply he wasn't in the game enough to get, you know, that rhythm that you talked about, Matt, while he's out there playing. So we'll definitely be looking at that. But I think Connor Cook gets to start. Which all indications look to be that, as seeing as though Connor Cook was getting the number one reps during this week of practice, and Damian Terry, of course, getting the second amount of reps with the second team. So we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out. Again, they're playing a lollipop team, Youngstown State, a weird kickoff time for 2 p.m. I don't know what's up with that one. So with the Big Ten Network, for those of you out there listening and want to get your information as far as how to watch that game, I think it's going to be on the Big Ten's alternative channels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's going to be on an alternative channel. I don't know what that is. You have to check your local listings. I have no idea what that channel, what channel that'll be. But on the main network, they will be broadcasting the Michigan and Akron game. Then after that game, they'll switch the Michigan State game from that Big Ten alternative channel to the main game, which I guess we'll assume it, you know, a 2-hour game, maybe around 3-ish, something like that. So you might, you know, they might come to the MSU game and it might be halftime. So we'll see how this works out. A really weird kickoff time for that. So tune in for that. Again, Michigan and Akron, they will be kicking off at 12 noon. Lions and Cardinals, guys. Reggie Bush, he was something special. That's been the entire buzz when you talk about this Lions team. When you look at that very first game. Now, Bush, who signed a 4-year deal with the Lions in the offseason, he had a historic performance in the club's 34-24 victory over Minnesota. He became the third Lion to tally at least 90 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards, and the first since Barry Sanders on October 14th, 1990. That's unbelievable, guys. His day included an electrifying 77-yard catch and run for a touchdown, his longest career play from scrimmage. Now, the 90 yards on the ground by Bush were especially welcome after Detroit finished 23rd in total rushing in 2012. Only four Lions backs ran for more than 84 yards in a single game over the last three seasons, with Mikel Ashore's 100-yard effort the only such performance last season. So, guys, when you talk about Detroit playing the Cardinals are 0-1. Carson Palmer, though, he didn't look bad in that first game for the Cardinals. But like I said before, what I'm really going to be looking at is what other receivers for the Lions are going to step up, because they're keying in on Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson, he didn't get a lot of catches in that first game just simply because he was being doubled and triple teamed down the field. And they really seem to be keying in on him because they know how good he is. But I said this the other day, Reggie Bush kind of acts like, you know, another receiver for you, which is great. So, guys, what are your thoughts about this weekend's game against Arizona?
Well, it's not a not exactly a welcome environment. They haven't won in Arizona in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, even when they're good and having a good season, they will go to Arizona and lose. So I'm looking to see if maybe they can overcome some of that, some of the bad juju that's in, down in Phoenix. But honestly, like you said, it's
bad juju. I like that.
Yeah, you know, it exists. It definitely exists. but with the game plan that people are going to have, which is let's double Calvin, let's triple Calvin, and you also have Reggie Bush, you're right. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has to be open. I don't want to see Pettigrew anymore. I'm tired of Pettigrew.
No, he's got butterfingers,
handing the ball
man.
To the other team.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
ridiculous.
He's got butterfingers.
He doesn't even.
Yes.
It's not even drops so much anymore. It's just handling the
just,
ball.
Yeah, I remember last season there were multiple times where
guys would just take it out of his hands.
It. Yeah,
it's
come on, man.
And if Scheffler and the rookie Foria. Kind of keep performing. Foria was a
Foria
surprise.
Looks great. Yeah, he was really great. A surprise. I mean, this rookie looks, he's a former, basketball player, right?
Yeah, and he's huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's huge.
Easy red zone threat. If he's going to catch the ball, if he can block even adequately, get him more reps. I'd like to maybe see Pettigrew get phased out. I know it's not good to kind of call out certain players, but at the same time, it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree.
The thing with Pettigrew, too, is he was a first-round draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when the Lions
they
first
traded up to get him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when they first drafted
him,
there was a lot of criticism behind the fact that the Lions had a lot of other needs at the time. But they just thought that they were set on Pettigrew as that multidimensional tight end, as the potential Tony Gonzalez-dominant tight end, as another first-round pick. But Matt hit it on the head there. I mean, just the fact that they haven't won in 20 years, and it's a very hostile environment there for them. It's going to be interesting to see if they can overturn it.
It is, man. And, one guy I'm calling out on this team, as far as receivers go, I want to see Nate Burleson,
He played well last week.
He did. But, I really want to see how consistent he is. Yeah. Nate will have, some spurts to say, oh, okay, wow. You know what I mean? But I really want to see him just blossom. Because I feel as though the guy has a lot of potential. Nate has always been a guy I look at and said, wow, this guy could really be something special. And I think, some of that is coupled with the fact that, Matthew Stafford, he loves to throw to Calvin Johnson. No matter even if Calvin is double, triple team, which you can't blame the guy. I mean,
still
Calvin
open.
Johnson is unbelievable.
He's still open.
Even when he's double team.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. But, with Nate, I really think he could be something special for the Lions. And I'm really going to be looking at him as far as the receivers go as well. If you look at last game, he had six receptions for 78 yards, averaged about 13 yards per catch on those six receptions that he had. So we'll see, though. We'll see. It's going to be very interesting in that game. And a lot of great games in the NFL. I'm really looking forward to the Manning Bowl. So, again, give us your opinion on what do you think is going to go down this weekend as far as Michigan State and Youngstown State is concerned, the Lions and Cards, Michigan and Akron. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. It's also Friday, so that means Reflection Friday, ladies and gents. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports is coming right back.
Dear Lord, please let this date be good. May he have the wealth of Mayor Bloomberg, the personality of Jon Stewart, the face of Michael Fassbender.
On the next Fresh Air, Mindy Kaling. Her Fox series, The Mindy Project, starts its second season Tuesday. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Also want to let you guys know that, you know, tonight is Friday in all high schools across the Mid-Michigan area. Football, they will be hitting the gridiron. And letting you know that Current Sports will be out there just like each and every Friday night. I'll be heading to Lansing Eastern at Holt. And Holt High School, I want to give a special, special thanks to Holt High School. Holt, they actually came in. The entire football team was in the house, along with head coach Al Slammer. They came in for our Current Sports TV taping on Wednesday, and they were a tremendous audience. The Holt High School cheerleaders actually gave me a Holt cap and a T-shirt that I have hanging in my office. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. So I'll be actually showing Holt some more love tonight, Lansing Eastern at Holt. And also Alex and Matt, you guys will be heading to the Jackson at East Lansing football game. So Current Sports will be out there. Again, you can catch our reports if you go to WKR.org and go to our Current Sports page. And we'll have a complete wrap-up, post-game wrap-up of both of those games. And you can check it out. Again, if you want to submit a game that you think we should cover week by week, you could tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. AlMartinWKAR. Email me at AlMartinWKAR.org. Hit us up on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/CurrentSports. Or even give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, we're taking your calls right now to discuss any predictions that you have for the weekend. A lot going on in the world of football. Again, 517-355-9527. All right, guys. Well, yesterday, Alex, you weren't with us, but Matt and I kind of talked about the whole SI report and Yahoo Sports report that really is shaking the college football world. No, not college football, just college sporting world. You know, as Yahoo came out and you know, talked about the SEC and you know, this guys that have taken money over the years that are coming out and saying, hey, you know, I got paid. In the SI report and discussion, you know, the whole OSU thing that's going on with them, where former players are coming out and say, hey, I got a pass on my academics because I play football. You know, some saying they smoked marijuana. Some were dealing drugs at the time. I mean, really, really disturbing stuff. And, you know, other things concerning the recruiting aspect of this, you know, some recruits who would come, you know, possible recruits that would come to OSU, you know, would be, you know, treated like celebrities when they come to campus, which we all know this goes on. I mean, even, you know, there were reports about sex even happening. You know, when they come up, you know, they would have girls that would welcome these possible recruits, and you know what else would happen. So I don't know if you saw the report. You probably saw the report. Who didn't see the report?
Yeah, of course I did.
What were your thoughts on it?
And I'm sure you maybe touched on this yesterday, but I heard a great review from someone who wrote an article. And think about this. What athlete hasn't taken a step over the NCAA rules, from buying 13 bagels opposed to 12 to the most minuscule rules in the book? Everybody has overstepped that line in some capacity.
Yeah.
Now you look at this, and sure, this is a way bigger scale of a quote unquote scandal.
Right.
Call it. But I compare this a little bit to baseball and the fact that sure, performance enhancing drugs, they're prevalent everywhere, and then now we're starting to see with football, and player after player after player, it's starting to be discovered. Look at football, recruiting violations, the money being paid to athletes, it's the same story. And when I look at both of these sports, I think to myself, is this ever going to end? I mean, every single year, there's always one new case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same response, but yeah, this might be a little bigger of a scandal. And we've seen Penn State, we've seen, you know, the SAT thing with Derrick Rose. We've seen a lot of different things, and it's going to be out there no matter what. You talked about it with the PEDs. People are still going to be taking steroids.
Yeah, I really, with the way, you know, you look at it now, and with the whole recruiting process that schools, you know, that Division I colleges and colleges in general, you know, the process they have as far as trying to nail down a possible recruit in high school, and the steps they take and the things they do to try and sway these recruits. You know, it's one of those things where it's spiraled really out of control. And I don't think there's any way to retrack and try to get it to a point of sanity, because you have all these Division I programs trying to woo these young high school kids who are still in high school. They're young. And, you know, possibly, you know, throwing things such as, you know, you know, girl, you know, throughout their report, they talked about, you know, girls and possibly, hey, I would pay you, you know, $2,000 a month if you come here. Then another program saying, hey, well, I can up that, you know, we'll pay you this. You know what I mean? You got these boosters coming out of nowhere. I mean, I just think, you know, right now to be competitive for a program, you know, you got to do those things. Because if you don't, what kid is going to want to come to your program when they can go here and get all these lavish, you know, lavish things? So right now it's at a point now where so many people are doing it to try and get these big recruits that if you don't, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage athletically to try and build your program. And, you know, if you don't perform as a coach, you're gone. You know what I mean? And like you said, we had a caller on yesterday when Matt and I was on. Sometimes, you know, some of these coaches, not every coach knows that this is going on. You know, there's some out there to do and just let it slide. But I do believe that there's some out there that don't. And we had a caller yesterday, Ann, who called in, who was a coach of a prominent university in the state of Michigan, and she legitimately would let her players know, hey, you can't do these things. And you know, her players will come to her and say, hey, coach, I'm not doing it. I'm not involved in it. I would never do that. Then it comes down years down the line that, hey, it was going on. Sometimes they don't know what's happening, but it varies in every situation. But I just think you've got a tornado right now that's spiraling out of control, and you won't be able to get it back.
Two things. One, how do you monitor it?
You can't.
That's the thing. You can't monitor it, yeah. And you can't enforce it. There's no way that the NCAA, as a governing body, is going to be able to look into all these cases and find
do they have personal
turnover every
them?
Stone. No, they don't. And that's the thing. And it's going to get worse and worse, too, because the kids are getting recruited at younger and younger ages. Like, yeah. Kids in eighth grade are now getting ranked all the time. And it's like, oh, boy, this is a slippery slope. And we're already halfway down it. I mean, it's just going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I think maybe the end of the NCAA is on the horizon because it's getting out of hand. It's becoming a bigger story than the actual games themselves.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And you know what? And, you know, that's something that if you guys tune into the whole episode that we have, and, you know, I asked Coach Al Slammer about this, and he said, you know, as a coach, as a high school coach, there's only so much you can do. You know, it's really nothing you can do except, I guess, get a kid some advice because – really, when you look at these kids, and you like you said, Matt, they're being recruited at eighth grade right now. In seventh grade, have Division I colleges calling them up. I mean, are you serious? And it really, you know, I asked Coach Al Slammer about the recruiting process, and he told me that if you're not recruited by a Division I college as, at the latest, a sophomore in high school, you're not going to get a Division I scholarship. And that really just blew my mind.
It's crazy.
I had no idea. And Alex, you probably know because you're a big Rivals guy. And I want to get your take on that because you're a big Rivals guy. You follow the whole recruiting process to the T. You know these names. And I have no idea. I could not name one recruit right now off the top of my head. But with you, do you think this thing is right as far as recruiting at such a young age?
I'm actually looking right now on the Rivals page. In the front article for University of Michigan, is 5 touchdown passes a possibility for Devin Gardner? 5.
Mm-hmm.
So they obviously are pretty hyped with Devin Gardner right now.
They are.
Michigan,
they definitely are.
Which is fine. So your question is the recruiting thing, what do I think about kids
being
recruited
so young?
Early?
Do they have like eighth graders on Rivals.com right
now?
Exactly.
So they actually only have up to 3 years before. So right now the big class for this year is 2014. They only have commitments up to 2016. Commitments. Mm-hmm. Now for rankings, they only have rankings up to 2016 as well, but a lot of the rankings don't come out until the year of. So, for example, they have a preliminary ranking that has, you know, 1 through 100, but the Rivals stars, don't come out until the year of. Okay. Now, in terms of these 8th grade rankings, a lot of these 8th grade rankings right now are just from smaller blogs that people have that are associated with Rivals. Maybe some of these Rivals employees think it's fun to make their own little 8th grade blog rankings.
But I tell you what, let's be honest. You don't know how good an eighth grader is going to be. He's in eighth grade. You don't know how good that kid is going to be.
You don't know how he's going to develop.
Exactly. Like, you have no idea. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Exactly. And listeners,
I think there should be some regulations against that. There should be an age limit to
absolutely
about how young these kids should be, you know, looked at as far as these colleges go. Because I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. Two quick things, listeners, and for the two of you, and I'm sure I think both of you have seen this movie, the documentary Hoop Dreams.
Oh,
is a
love
perfect
that.
Example
yeah.
of yeah. why recruiting so early is not effective.
Right. That's a very perfect. I mean, because I think one of the kids in that documentary gets injured and doesn't end up panning out, you know, as they wanted him to. And, you know, just different things happen. You have no idea how good a kid is going to be in eighth grade. And I just think that there should be something done about that, if anything. You know, right, we look at this whole recruiting process.
The second thing is it gets in their head. Look at what's happening with the EA Sports paying players to be in a video game. These guys are college. They're not professional. Right. And they're getting paid. They're getting hyped up. They're getting upset if they're not in the game as a freshman redshirt.
And you know something I want to hit on really quick is when you look at this at these reports from, you know, SI and Yahoo, specifically the Sports Illustrated report, and they talk about these OSU players academically getting a pass by professors who know that they play for the team, and getting a pass academically just because they play on a team. I thought they're supposed to be student athletes. And I think right now in our society, it's all about the dollar bill. In sports, there's a lot of money involved in sports, especially college sports now. It keeps changing year after year. And for these college athletes, they're getting a pass academically that another student who's just on the grind, you know what I mean, just trying to get a degree in college. And, you know, these athletes are getting a pass just because they're athletes, while the regular student, you know, does not get any pass. They're being graded fairly just like everybody else. I think that is totally unfair, and that's totally ridiculous, if you ask me. And,
And they're losing, too.
Right.
The athletes who are getting free passes, because I'm almost positive
anything.
None of those kids in that Oklahoma State article are playing professional football right now. And if there are, it's a very small percentage. So it's not like they, you know, had football be their life goal and that is their job now. That's their career. They're cheating themselves out of an education. The institution is cheating them out of an education. And, you know, they go through college, have fun when they're there, and then they move on and they have no future.
Right.
Guys, I'd
totally
love
agree.
For us to study how many of these college athletes that don't play professionally, they get their education, quote-unquote, with their passes
quote
and
unquote.
Classes.
Big quote-unquote.
Right?
Yeah.
With their passes. How many of them have active jobs in the field that they studied
right.
in college?
Yeah, and you know, Aaron pointed out something just a minute ago. If you look at these interviews that are done by Sports Illustrated on these athletes, I mean, it looks like they're sitting at home in mama's living room during the interview, you know what I mean,
right.
or in their bedroom, you know what I mean? Like like you said, this is putting them at a disadvantage because you're sent to college. You come to college to get an education, get a degree, so that you can go out there and get a job. As an athlete, I mean, like you said, there's only a handful that make it to that professional level when you get to play in the NFL or the NBA or wherever. And right now, if you're not getting your education and learning from your education to go out there and be successful in a certain career, and most of these athletes are not going to the NFL or the NBA, like I just said, that's putting them a step back, and really it's just a cloud of just – it's a mess.
Now, do
it's
you think that paying them would make that worse?
Yeah. Hmm.
You have these kids who come in. They get all these advantages. They get to hang out in the best facilities on campus, and they're getting paid on top of it. What kind of work ethic do you think that kind of, you know, makes them work towards? None.
It
doesn't develop
nothing.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know, it
right.
Doug
right.
Gottlieb, who, you know, used to work for ESPN, now he's at CBS, he wrote a really great article on Johnny Manziel and how ironic it is that he is the, you know, poster boy for college athletes being paid, when really he is just the poster boy for a spoiled athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gottlieb had a bunch of trouble in his college career. He was credit card fraud at Notre Dame, ended up at Oklahoma State. But he just talked about how these guys get so many breaks going throughout their college career that they do feel they're above the law, and they do feel that nothing can touch, they're untouchable. You know, they're big, strong, and young, and nothing's going to stop them from doing anything they want to do.
Right, exactly. Totally,
and it's for their detriment.
Exactly. Alex, really quick?
Yeah, on a positive note, some news here. I don't know if we touched on this earlier, that Lance Armstrong returns his bronze
medal. Yeah, he returned his bronze medal. We had that in our headliners. Yep. Cool. So, all right, guys, really quick reflection Fridays. What was the highlight of the week for you guys in the sporting world? And what are you guys watching this weekend? A lot of sporting action. We know that. Go ahead, Matt.
I'm gonna go with Todd T.J. Duckett.
He was great, wasn't he?
Great interview. Hilarious guy.
He is.
He's got a fun energy about him. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but he just seems like a fun dude. And as far as what I'm watching this weekend, it's got to be Breaking Bad.
Definitely Breaking Bad, man.
Yeah. I heard that last episode was wild.
Alex, you're losing out.
I know.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
quick. Same with T.J. Todd. He's got a cane. And you couldn't see in the studio visually, but he's got a cane. He's got a new aura about him.
He's a great guy, isn't he?
Yeah, great guy.
Great guy. All right.
Lastly.
Oh.
Seahawks and Niners.
Seahawks and Niners should be a great game. Of course, I'll be tuning to Breaking Bad. Oh, unbelievable show. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistant Alex Shark, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Gregory, Special K Kelser. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic weekend, and be easy, people.